This Chazara Zechen Neshabach Chesu Shragim Rabbi Yehudim Sechaz Bar Metzia Daf Nun Vav. Zok, the Gemara continues in this conversation. The Gemara just brought to Rav Yosef, who said that although Rav Meir says the Rabbanon were lenient with regard to redemption of Demai, they were stringent with regard to the eating of Demai. Ravina asked, the Mishnah says that if one buys bread from a baker who is an Am Ha'aretz, in which case anything bought from him is Demai, and Mais must be separated. Rav Meir says he may separate from one loaf for another, even if the loaves are of different shapes. Now, one is not allowed to separate Maisa from one batch of Demai for another, because it's possible that one batch in truth did not need Maisa separated, and the other did, which would mean that Maisa was separated from a Chiyuv to a Patur, or vice versa, which is also to do. When the loaves are of different shapes, there's a concern that they came from different batches, and yet Rav Meir is makel, even though this is a case of eating Demai. And for the Gemara, Abaye answered by giving his thoughts on the entire back and forth of the Gemara since the Mishnah, he gives an answer over here, Abaye. He said like this, Rabbi Elazar's initial question was valid because he asked that the Mishnah was machmer regarding Trumas Meiser of Demai, and even regular Trumas Meiser only carries a penalty of Misa B'dei Shemayim, which is not the most severe form of punishment. Shmuel did not answer him well because he said the Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir, who we see as machmer regarding the halachas of Get. That's not a good answer because Get carries the death penalty, and maybe a reason why Rabbi Meir is machmer over there, even if he would not be machmer regarding Demai. Rav Sheshes, who then asked from a case of Maisa Sheni, did not ask well because Maisa Sheni is a simple lav, which is what may be why or Meir leans over there. However, based on Rav Sheshes' question, Rav Yosef answered well, and that it may be that Rav Meir was makel regarding redemption, but was machmer regarding eating of Demai. Now, Ravina's question was not a good one. Instead of asking from the case of the baker, he could have brought a proof to Rav Yosef from another Mishnah, which says that Rav Meir says that one who buys from a wholesale bread seller must give Maisa from each shaped bread separately. This shows that Rav Meir is machmer with regard to eating of Demai. Ravina would say that the reason he didn't bring a proof from over there is that in that case we must assume that the wholesaler bought the bread from many different bakers, and that's why each shape, which presumably came from different bakers, must have Maisa given from it separately. Based on that logic, we can answer Ravina's question and say that the reason Rav Meir allowed taking Maisa from one shaped loaf for another when they're bought from the same baker as opposed to a wholesaler is because we assume that he got all his merchandise from a single source, in which case we may give Maisa from one loaf for the other, even if they're of different shapes. Rava said, although Abaye felt that Shmuel didn't answer Rabbi Elazar well, Shmuel actually did answer well. The fact that Trumas Maisa and Get both are subject to some sort of death penalty, that's enough of a commonality for them to be compared. Zuck, the next mission, the following things are not subject to the laws of Aino: the sale of slaves, of promissory notes, of land, and of Hegdish. These items are also not subject to paying of Kefal if they're stolen, or paying a dollar of the hay. Also, if these items are given to a Shomer Chinam, he would not have to swear that he was not negligent if something happened to them. Also, a Shomer Sachar would not have to pay if he was given one of these items and it was stolen. Rav Shimon says, items of Hegdish for which one is responsible, the laws of Aino do apply to them. If he's not responsible, there is no Aino. Rav Yehuda says, also, when one sells a Sefer Torah, an animal, or a diamond, the laws of Aino don't apply. The Chum told him only the previous list is not subject to Aino. Fact the Gemara, how do we know that these items are not subject to Aino? If the Gemara Brisa says, the Pasuk regarding Aino says, V'chisimkru mimkal ha-misecho, ikonam yad ha-misecho, which teaches that it's referring to movable objects. This excludes land from the laws of Aino because it's not movable. Excludes slaves, which are compared to land. It also excludes the sale of promissory notes because the words V'chisimkru mimkar teaches that the item itself being sold, and the documents are not the item itself, they're just written proof of the underlying, let's say, loan that's being sold. The paper is not the item being sold. Based on this, if someone sold a document for the paper, he sold it to be used for, like, wrapping spices or whatever it is, Taka would be subject to Aino. The Gemara asks, on this brat in the Brisa, this seems obvious. The Gemara answers, this comes to the exclusion of Kahan, who says that Aino doesn't apply when the value of Aino is only a pruta. The Brisa continues, Aino doesn't apply to Heglish because the pasuk of Aino says Achiv, which comes to teach and exclude items of Hegdish. In fact, the Mara Rabba Bar Mamal asked, the Brisa says the words Miyad, said that the word Miyad refers only to movable items because it refers to something that can be held in the hand. However, a pasuk regarding Sichoin says, Vayikach has called Arze Miyodoi, which can't mean that he held the land in his hand. It has to mean that it means possession. If so, the pasuk of Aino could also mean possession and therefore should include land as well. And for the Gemara, we find the Brisa regarding stealing that needs a drasha to teach it. Although the pasuk says Miyodoi, it refers to anywhere in the possession of the ganav. This suggests that if not for this drasha, the word Miyodoi would only mean in his actual hand. A brisa regarding get also uses a drasha to teach that although the pasuk says biyada, the get may be put anywhere in her possession. Again, we see that if not for this drasha, the word biyada would only mean her actual hand. We see that the use of the word hand refers to an actual hand. In the case of the pasuk of sichain, it's possible to understand it literally, and therefore it must mean possession. It's impossible for it to understand it literally, and therefore it must mean possession. Facting Gemara. Zera asks, is the rental of items subject to Aino? Maybe the Pasuk's use of the word Mimkar teaches it has to be a full sale, or maybe it should not be understood that way. And for the Gemara Abaye said, the Pasuk doesn't mean it has to be a permanent sale, any type of sale. A rental is also a sale, it's just a sale for a small time period. Rava asks, what's the halacha if someone had wheat seeds and planted them in the ground and sold them before they took root? Would they be subject to Aino? Maybe we view them as if they're movable and just thrown into a keli, and therefore they remain subject to Aino. Or maybe when we say that the seeds become bundled to the ground, it's not subject to Aino. know. Fechmer, what's the case? It can't be the case where, you can't say that the case is where the seller told the buyer that he put 6 of seeds into the field, and in fact he only put 5, because Rava has said that anything that is sold when measured, weighed, or counted may be returned if misrepresented, even if it's less than a 6. The case must be, and for the Gemara, that the seller told the buyer that he put in an amount of seeds that the field needs to produce a proper yield, when in fact he put in less than that. The question is there a no in that case or not? Do we view them as being movable items that are thrown into a keli, or maybe that they're, and therefore they wouldn't be subject to a no? I'm sorry, therefore they would be subject to a no, or maybe we say that the seeds become bottled to the ground, therefore they're not subject to a no. Fact Gemara, would one have to swear regarding these seeds, which have not yet taken root, or not? Do we view them as their movable items thrown into a keli, and they are therefore subject to a shua, or maybe there are seeds that and they become bottled to the ground, which are therefore not subject to a shua? Fact Gemara, the bringing of the Omer allow the eating of all new grain. Does the Omer permit these seeds as well? In fact, what's the case? If it's talking about where it rooted before the Omer was brought, the Mishnah already teaches that the Omer permits eating this grain. It's Omer says, if the case is that it did not yet root, the Mishnah teaches that the Omer does not permit it, and it does not become mutter until the Omer of the following year. And where the case must be, where the seller harvested grain kernels which can be eaten or used for planting, and plant them in the ground before the Omer was brought. And the Omer was brought before they took root. The question is, can the kernels be taken out of the ground and eaten based on the Omer that was brought or not? Do we view them as movable, like they're movable items thrown into a keli, and they therefore become mutter based on the oimer that was brought, or maybe we say that the seeds become bottled to the ground and do not become mutter based on this oimer? To that, the Gemara leaves with a teku.